We're going to ask all the young girls and sisters, older ones too, to sing the next verse. I'll help you get started, and then we'll all sing the chorus together. So let's have the sisters sing verse number 4. Jesus. Nice that you listen to what I said. And I said, first of all, you know, that we wanted the girls to sing, and then on the last verse we wanted the boys to sing. And you know, I believe everyone heard what I had to say, and they did exactly what I asked them to do. Now, I think that's very nice, and I want to say thank you. But in this Bible that I have in my hand, God speaks to us in this Bible, doesn't He? This is His Word to us. And I hope and I trust that all of you will listen to what this Word of God has to tell each one of us. So now, we're going to sing a few more hymns. But before we sing a few more hymns, let's just ask the Lord to help us to listen, shall we? Let's fold our hands and close our eyes. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee this morning for the Lord Jesus, Thy beloved Son, who came down into this world. And, oh, blessed Lord Jesus, we thank Thee that we can hear Thee saying to Thy disciples, suffer the little children and forbid them not. Oh, we just pray that we might hear those words, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And we pray that boys and girls this morning will be given the strength and the help to listen to Thy word, and we pray that we might just make Thy word so clear and so simple that the simplest and the youngest child might know that Thou dost love them and that Thou dost die on Calvary's cross and shed Thy precious blood that every guilty stain of sin might be removed, and that they might be able to go to that happy home above in heaven. We pray Thy help. We pray Thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I wonder if one of the children here have a hymn they would like to sing. Do you have one you'd like to sing? What one?
46.
You say that.
46.
Okay, we're going to the back page, and that's nice. 46. Glad T-I-D-I-N-G-S, I-B-R-I-N-G, that J-E-S, U-S has come, U-S-A-B-E me, and He calls, and He calls all the G-I-R-L-S, and He wants all the B-O-I-S to K-R-U-S-T-N Him, and have all their sins now washed away. Isn't that a nice hymn to sing? We're singing about glad tidings. Glad tidings. And it's about the Lord Jesus coming into this world and then to save me. Oh, I hope that He has saved every one of the boys and girls that I see. And I see a few in the back there too. But there's room up here in the front yet for more children. If there's any children that would like to come up here a little closer, you're welcome to come up. Well, let's have another one. Now let's have one from this side of the room, and we'll get this young lady over here. What number?
44.
I can't reach it quite with this, so she said 44, so we're going to sing 44. Oh, this is a story about that little gypsy boy. Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Tell none can say of the children of men. Nobody ever has told me before. Did He so love me, a poor little boy? Send unto me the good tidings of joy. Need I not perish, my hand will He hold. Nobody ever the story has told. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. children of men. Nobody ever has told me before. Bending we caught the last words of his breath, just as he entered the valley of death. God sent his son, whosoever said he, then I am sure that he sent him for me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story, repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before.
You know, that's nice that that little boy heard about the Lord Jesus and he accepted him as his Savior. No one had ever told him before that the Lord Jesus loved him. I know that all of you children here have heard the story of the love of the Lord Jesus before. Many years ago, one time we were driving out to Iowa to go to some of our relatives out there, and we stopped by the river, the Mississippi River. And I spoke to a man who was fishing, who was a fisherman there, and I asked him if he'd heard about the Lord Jesus. And he's the only man that I ever heard say that he never heard about the Lord Jesus. So I was quite glad to be able to tell him a little bit about the love of the Lord Jesus. I never had met a man before that had never heard about the Lord Jesus. And I don't know if he was telling me the truth, but somehow or other I began to believe he was. He didn't know how to write. We bought a fish from him, and he didn't have any idea how much to charge for the fish. And so he told me about what others had paid for fish. And so I gave him the money, and he couldn't even count the money, but he was glad to get it. And I hope that he was glad to get the story about someone who loved him. You know, I like to talk about someone who loves me because it brings joy to my heart, but it brings joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus when we talk about him, doesn't it? You know, I always enjoy talking to children. You know, we all like to be somebody big, don't we? You know, that's really kind of down in our heart. Did you ever play King of the Mountain? You know what it is to play King of the Mountain? Don't know what it is? Do you know what it is? Good. I'm glad somebody knows. Well, you know, when I was a boy, we used to play King of the Mountain at school. We had a lot of snow. And we'd make a big mound of snow. And then someone would be on the top of that mound of snow and say that they were the King of the Mountain. And other boys and girls would try to get up on that mountain. And they'd keep pushing them down. Because the person that was called the King of the Mountain, he liked to be somebody great. You know, we're no different than that. But the Lord had a special word to say in the Bible about those who wanted to be the greatest. And you know who are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Anyone who can humble himself like a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to read you a little bit about that story. It's in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, and if you have a Bible, you can follow me, or you can just listen to the Word. It says in Matthew 18, and I was kind of surprised at this when I read this, because a few weeks ago, we were in the state of Washington, and we visited a little meeting there, And a brother who has not been gathered all that many years, he said to me, he wanted to know, he inquired, he said, I hope that when Uncle Henry comes, he can tell me something about why. Matthew 18 and 20 is in that chapter. Well, I was a little puzzled. He says, it's in the middle of a chapter. Why is it? Is there something that we're supposed to learn about that verse? So I got my Bible out and I began to read. In verse 1, it said, at that time, at the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, you know, most of us are far too polite today to say, well, I wonder who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we have God's word, but, you know, they came, the disciples, they came and they wanted to know who's going to be the greatest. You know what the Lord Jesus did? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So little children, you can be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven if you just humble yourself. And what it means to humble is to just say, the Lord Jesus is right and I am wrong, but the Lord Jesus can make me right. And so these little children, the Lord Jesus took them up in his arms. And you know, before he got down and said that wonderful verse in Matthew 18 and 20, seven times in this chapter we read about a little child. So I hope some of you older ones in the back there will just take a little time sometime and read how many times that we are to be like little children. You know, that's the beginning of getting help to understand the rest of the chapter, to be like little children. So now this morning we're going to speak mostly to little children, and I want to try to give a little example that might be a little helpful to you. I didn't know I was going to talk to the children when I came, but I'm a fruit grower, and so I asked for someone to help me find a fruit tree. This is not a fruit tree, but we're going to call it a fruit tree. We're going to call it a fruit tree. And you know, what do you expect from a fruit tree? If this is an apple tree, you would like to see fruit like this, wouldn't you? You like apples? All the boys and girls here like apples? I hope so. There's some apples out there, and there's a box of yellow ones. I didn't have a box of red ones to take along. Sorry about that, but these apples were grown on a tree, and most of them were grown on real young trees. And you know, when we plant a tree in the ground, we like to see fruit. And the Lord Jesus likes to see fruit in our lives. He likes to see fruit. The brother who spoke yesterday, I think maybe you all remember Mr. Gorgas. He spoke yesterday and he spoke about an orchard. And I was so glad that there are some here who once in a while think about an orchard. And then he spoke about the fruit, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. And one word that he stressed in that fruit of the Spirit was the word long-suffering. You remember that? Anybody remember that? You remember that, how he said long-suffering? Then he talked about in that orchard, he talked about a certain kind of a wind. What kind of a wind did he talk about? Let's just check up and see if anybody knows. What kind of a wind? A what?
A furious wind, you say?
Or a breeze. Well, that's right. It was a breeze. But what direction did it come from? Now let's get down. What direction? South. Anybody believe that? Well, he talked about a south wind, but he also talked about a north wind. The north wind came first. You know, in order for an apple tree to bear apples, and I have this little twig here, this branch, or we're going to call it a tree in my hand, in order for it to bear fruit, it has to go through stress. North wind, it has to go through a dormant cycle, and then the buds can develop. The buds on the apple tree are started to being developed in the month of August, usually up our way, and then they need the cold north wind. And then in the spring, like now, the trees are beginning to come out, and pretty soon they'll all be in blossom. There are a lot of other things that are needed, too, to bear fruit. But we're just going to talk about the north wind and the stress. Well, when we plant an orchard, you know, we like to have good fruit. And we need to plant these trees. And in order to have them bear good fruit, what we do when we get a tree from the nursery is the first thing we do is we kind of hurt it. So we usually take and we cut off all these little side branches because they're not the kind that will help us to get fruit on this tree quickly. So we got a lot of little buds here and they're just starting to grow. They're that far along, sometimes we strip them. And then we take this tree and we never leave the top grow. We cut off about, well, really what we want is a tree 32 inches tall. That's a little more than 32 yet, isn't it? Anybody got a good measuring? That's what we want, a tree about like that. We plant that tree in the ground. And now if we want to be real severe on this tree and make it bear fruit quick, we'll take this tree and we'll bend it right over. We'll tie it down to the ground like that. And when we do that, we make shoots come out of the side of that tree. And we leave it that way for maybe 6 weeks. Then we come and we might tie it over this way. And then branches will come out on the other side of the tree. And that way, when we come to it again, we can select the right kind of branches for the right kind of fruit. And sometimes people make these trees come into bearing in the second year. We call that the second leaf. The first year we plant it is called the first leaf. The second year is the second leaf. The third year in the ground, we get the third leaf, and by then we should be getting some nice fruit. And we can get apples like this on a little tree that's very young. That's because these are dwarf trees that we're planting. Well, there's another way to do it, too. And we can also do the same thing. We cut all the branches off, strip the tree down, and then we slide a bread wrapper, or we have special bags that we slide that over the tree, and maybe we'll put a rubber band around here. I had some, but I lost them already. And then we make a little greenhouse there. And what happens is that all the branches inside the buds on the side of the bark here will break out, and branches will come out. And then after about 6 weeks, we do this maybe about this time of the year when we plant the tree. We take the bag off, and then we have all little new branches coming out. And you know, when we have branches coming out, we like branches that come out like that, straight out. We don't like branches that grow up that way. We want them that way, because then they will bear apples. Trees that have all their wood growing straight up don't usually bear very much fruit. They make a big show, but they don't bear very much fruit. But when the tree is young and the branch is young, we put it under a stress. You know what a stress is? It's kind of a hard time. You know, sometimes the Lord allows us to get very discouraged. And then we turn to the Lord in our distress. That's what it says in the Psalms. And then the Lord can come in and help us. And so then these trees will force branches out like this. And before very long, we get a fruit bud. And then the next year or two, we begin to get fruit. Now, the thing that we really want these trees to do is to bear fruit very early in their life. And the Lord Jesus is looking for fruit in your lives. And you know how we can bear fruit for the Lord Jesus? It can be bearing fruit to just sing the hymns in the meeting. You know, the next meeting we're going to have, Lord willing, in this room is we're going to remember the Lord Jesus in His death. And you boys and girls, you may not be partaking of the emblems, but you can really give praise and honor to the Lord if you help sing the hymns and you really study them and you realize that you're singing something and you're singing to the Lord and you're just giving thanks to God. Oh, that's the fruit. That's the fruit that He wants in our lives. And I hope all of us, older ones too, will just be able to return to the Lord Jesus in the next meeting, thanksgiving and praise for what He has done for us right now. Because He's done so much for us. He has given His life that we might live. You know, I'm going to tell you a very short little story. One time in our little meeting at home many, many years ago, there was a little boy sitting in the meeting, and on Lord's Day morning, someone gave out to him that, and I forget just how it goes, but if we didn't praise the Lord, the stones would cry out. And you know, this little boy thought, my goodness, if the Lord Jesus can make stones cry out, I want to thank Him. And you know, he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior because of that one line in that hymn. And I don't expect very many people would ever get saved by singing that line in that hymn. But the Lord Jesus can take anything and just use it for Himself. And so this morning, boys and girls, we want to encourage you to read your Bible. Read Matthew 18. You're not too young to read it. And you'll find that 7 times in that chapter, the Lord Jesus talks about a little child. If you're going to enter into the rest of the blessing that the Lord has for us in that wonderful chapter, we've got to start out being humble and just coming to the Lord in all our simplicity and humility. And then the Lord can bring blessing into our lives. And then we will be able to enjoy that wonderful verse, Matthew 18 and 20. I don't know, beside John 3:16, that's one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. And I hope and I trust that the enemy who is so busy will not rob us anymore of that verse. The enemy has made a great effort to rob us from some of the verses in the Bible. But the Lord Jesus wants to bring blessing and honor for Him in our lives. So now let's close our meeting. Let's sing another hymn from the hymn sheet. Who has one they would like us to sing? What one would you like? Oh, excellent. Two little eyes that look to God. That's very good. Let's sing number 45.
Two little eyes to look to God. Yeah.
love that last verse. The whole hymn is just like a little prayer, isn't it? It's just like a little prayer that we're praying to the Lord. And it says, take them, Lord Jesus, and let them be always obedient and true to thee. Well, I see the clock is right where we're supposed to stop. So before we